Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
But it's blessed our church as well, and so that's going to be the first of many things that you see. That won't be the last time that we have some video messages taking place here in our church. But today I'm excited because we're starting a brand new series that has been on my radar since January. Like, I've been waiting since the beginning of the year to do this series. So for the past 6 months, I've been itching to get to this series. And the reason why is because I believe oftentimes you and I, we get into these places in our lives where our lives essentially, it's like they stall out. They become stagnant. Instead of moving, they become stationary. And what I want us to do is always to be continuing our growth spiritually in our relationship with God. Like, I don't ever want us to be content with where we are, because God is not content with where you are. Like, constantly, he wants to conform us to the image and likeness of Jesus in everything that we do. So God's desire is not that we would just come here on a Sunday morning. The full extent of your relationship with Jesus is that you would come to a service on Sunday and that be it. Like, that's not why Jesus died for you. It wasn't just so that way you could have a ticket just to go to heaven. No, he wants to bring heaven to earth through your life. But a lot of times what happens is we get stuck where we are. And this series is really designed to help us move out of that place of, can I make up this word, stuckness. Because some of us right now are suffering from being stuck and not moving and being stagnant. And so we're calling this series Running from Your Life. Running from your life. You've heard the saying, running for your life, right? Like, were you just trying to get somewhere? No, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. Not running for your life, but running from your life. And so what's going to happen is, over these next few weeks, we're going to be walking through the book of Jonah, who happens to be one of my favorite Bible characters, because I've seen so much of my life in the life of Jonah and seen a very similar path that Jonah went on that's similar to mine, and I'm pretty sure many of us will be able to relate to that. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through the book of Jonah, and you can take notes along as we're preaching. The next few weeks, you can download the notes in our app, so go ahead and download the app from the App Store, and we've actually already provided some sermon notes, fill in the blank, all that good stuff, and you can send it to yourself after you finish. But I would encourage you guys to take advantage of that. But we're going to be doing this series, Running from Your Life, looking at the book of Jonah. And Jonah is a very short book. It only has 4 chapters, and each week, we're going to spend some time looking at each chapter. And then don't get alarmed. The chapters they're not that long. And so I'm going to be giving kind of a summary of each chapter, and really pulling out some key truths and some key principles that I believe that God is speaking to us in this season as he wants us to continue to move forward and continue to be who he's called us to be. And so running from your life. And if you're taking notes today, I'm calling part one of this message On the Run. Ask the person beside you, look at them, smile at them, and ask them this question. Are you on the run? You on the run? Find somebody else, you know, even if they're somewhere across the room, and say, are you running from something right now? Yeah, man. Y'all look like y'all running from something right now. Y'all look like y'all just running from your life right now. When I was thinking about this message and preparing this series to kick off this series, On the Run, as I always kind of share with you guys, I like to always kind of approach scripture from a creative perspective, looking at everything in context, obviously, but always trying to contextualize what God is saying in a way that we can understand. And so the first thing that I thought of when I was thinking about this Running from Your Life series and calling this message On the Run was this tour that Beyonce and Jay-Z happened to be on called On the Run. So y'all supposed to say, y'all don't even know nothing about this. Or maybe y'all are just trying to fake like y'all don't. Some of y'all are like, I got tickets already, but I'm not going to tell nobody. But Jay-Z and Beyonce, husband and wife, they did a tour a few years not too long ago. It was On the Run, and now they've kind of doubled up on it and have done the On the Run tour part 2. But that was not the thing that I thought about the most that gave me the most, like, comic relief. The most comical thing as I think about On the Run was something that happened recently in the NBA Finals, Game 1. Any of you guys, y'all watch basketball? Any who guys watches basketball? Maybe you've seen the highlights. But it was an amazing game. LeBron James goes off. He scores 51 points. But there was a particular instance that happened at the end of regulation, meaning at the end of the fourth quarter. It was a very interesting series of events that took place. The game was tied. George Hill misses the game-winning free throw. And then all of a sudden, the Cleveland Cavaliers get the rebound, but in particular, one guy named J.R. Smith gets the rebound, and instead of going up to shoot a shot to potentially and possibly win the game, he runs the opposite direction. And I found this little meme. They've been killing him all week for this. I found this meme, right, and for those of you guys who follow me on social media, bear with me, I'm having fun with this, and I'm just posting stuff like crazy. I love to give laughter. Laughter's good medicine. It's good for the soul. And I found this one. This one took the cake. I mean, I laughed for like hours off of this. I was in the room just laughing out loud by myself. I was at Panera laughing out loud. People looking at me crazy like, what is this dude laughing at? But this meme was the funniest, because here we got LeBron, after JR, runs the ball out to the three-point line. Mind you, he could have just shot a shot, potentially wins the game. He goes all the way out to the three-point line. LeBron is like, dude, what are you doing? And somebody very creative put this little bubble up here where LeBron is saying, shoot! And then JR says, it hit the rim, so I had to take it back. Now, let me give some context to this little characterization that happens right here. For anybody of you guys who've ever played basketball and played 21, you know that when you're shooting or when you're playing in that game, if somebody misses a shot and you get the rebound, basketball fans, what happens? You go to the three-point line. You take it back. JR, we're not playing 21, bro. You don't need to take it back. Your team missed the free throw. Why are you going to the three-point line? He's been getting killed all week for this. JR Smith was on the run. On the run. Ran away from victory on Friday night, Thursday night. And everybody's just been killing him since. Man, JR, if you hear this message, I'm praying for you, brother. You're still good in my book, man. But what's interesting about this and even the Jay-Z and Beyonce pick is I think it characterizes, in a nutshell, our lives and how our lives can be. That oftentimes our lives are contextualized with running. You are either running to something or away from something. In JR's case, he was running from his own rim. Right? In your case, maybe you're running from something right now. Maybe you've run from something that you should be running to, and the thing that you should be running from, you're actually running to. Well, here's what I've realized in this series, that we're going to walk through it. All of us are running in some direction. All of us are running in some capacity. And what you see here in the book of Jonah is a man who is on the run. So we look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, and we got it on the screen. Here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Notice what verse 3 says. But Jonah ran. Somebody say ran. Say it like you mean it. Say ran. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish. Watch what it says. To flee from the Lord. Already you can see what's going on here. Jonah has been given specific instructions from God. Go to Nineveh. Go preach to the people of Nineveh. Why? So that way they can repent of their sin and turn back to God. God tells Jonah some specific instructions to go to Nineveh. But notice what Jonah does. He runs from God. Runs completely away from God. Let me pause here. Just as God spoke to Jonah back then, some thousands of years ago, he's also speaking to you and I today. He speaks to us through a number of ways. Prayer, through the study of his word. He will sometimes speak to us through other people. The question is, what am I doing with the word that he's speaking to me? Am I running to it, or am I running from it? It's real tight in here already. Y'all were laughing a few minutes ago when I was talking about JR running. But now when we talk about us running, it's getting real quiet. Oftentimes, I found myself running from the very things that God has called me to run to. Jonah's response is simple, and I love how the Bible cuts no corners and tells us what he does. He simply and straightforwardly runs from God. He's running from the instructions that God has given him. He's running essentially from his calling. He's running from his purpose. He's running from the very essence of what God has called him to do. In other words, let's say it like this. He's running from his life. He's running from his life. Why do I say that? Because it is only in God himself that you find life. And so to run from God is the equivalent of running from your life. I'm not talking about running from bills. I'm not talking about running from relationships. Those are other things. I'm talking about when you and I are running from God, that is us running from our life, running from God's best for our lives. When you and I decide that we want to go the opposite direction of what God is saying, that is us running from our life. And I love how Jonah, through his running, he still teaches us something here. A few things about running. That yes, it is running from our life from a general standpoint, but there's also some specific and key truths that are packed into what it means when we are running from God. I'm gonna jump right in. Number one, here's what running from God is. I hope you guys are ready for this. Now, the beginning part of this message, it's gonna be some gut checking taking place, but I promise you there's gonna be some grace and you're gonna feel better at the end of it. Number one, you ready? Are you ready? Here's what running from God is at its core. Disobedience. 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 And anybody who is a parent in here of young kids, and maybe you raise kids at some point and your kids are out of the house, you know what disobedience looks like. When you tell your child to do one thing and they go the completely different direction, we experience this daily right now. I have gray hairs that I did not have at the beginning of this year that I know are strictly attributed to disobedient kids. But at its core, running from God is disobedience. Notice here, let's go back to verse 2. God gives Jonah these instructions. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. What does it say he did in verse 3, Jonah? He ran from God. He ran from the Lord. He headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah decides, I'm not going. I'm running. I heard what you said. I'm going the opposite direction. Matter of fact, in the New Living Translation, verse 3 actually says, and I love it, what it says. It says, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went out of his way to disobey God. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my bad, God. I didn't even know I was being disobeyed. No, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not going to Nineveh for nothing. I heard what you said, but I'm not going. Nope, you can't make me go. It's like a little kid just pouting. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do me. At his core, Jonah is being obviously disobedient. And in case you didn't know this, disobedient is sinful. It's sin. Anytime God tells us to do something and we choose not to do it, that's disobedient. It is sinful. That's how we got into a fallen world that we live in today, starting with Genesis 1. That God gives Adam and Eve specific instructions. Hey, y'all can have everything in here. Everything in this garden is yours. Have it. Man, just enjoy it. But don't go mess with that tree right there. What do? The complete opposite. Disobedience is sinful. And what Jonah is doing here is sinful. He responds to God's calling with disobedience. He runs from God. But instead of obeying God and going to Nineveh, he decides he wants to go to Tarshish. Now, let me give us some geographical context. Nineveh, more than likely, was about 500 miles from where Jonah was. That's a lot of miles. Tarshish, where he ended up trying to go, was about 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. Do y'all see what's happening here? Jonah goes 4 times the distance to disobey God. Let me say it like this. It takes more effort to be disobedient than to obey. He goes out of of his way as far as possible away from what God said, just so that way he wouldn't have to do what God said. And when I see this, I'm like, man, this is me so many times. There's been so many times where I have gone out of my way to not do what God's called me to do. I've gone through so much trouble, so much calamity, exerted more energy, paid more than I needed to pay, just at the expense of not being obedient to God. And I hope I'm not the only person here. Maybe I am, but I'm pretty sure there's some other people in here who can say, I've gone out of my way to disobey God plenty of times. I knew exactly what God wanted me to do, but I just didn't do it. For whatever reason, fear, comfort, whatever it was, convenience, whatever it was, but all of us in here have been in a place and time, just like Jonah, where God has given us specific instructions to do certain things, and we instead did not run to it, we ran from it. And I believe that all of us right now have a call of God on our life, where God is speaking something to you. He's calling you to do something, but the question is, are you obeying it or are you running from it? Are you running from the very things that God has called you to do at the expense of running to other things? God is calling you to go down this path, but instead of going down this path, you go the opposite way at the expense of wanting to make more money and to be more comfortable and to be in this type of relationship. And God is calling you to go the opposite direction. I wonder right now, is there something in your life that you know for a fact God has called you to do, but you are doing everything you can to avoid it? Yeah. You know, preachers would oftentimes say, I can tell when I'm preaching good because everybody talking back to me. And I'll say, I can tell when I'm preaching good because nobody's talking. That means God is speaking. What is it right now that God is speaking to your life, that there's a word that he's spoken over your life that he's calling you to fulfill, but instead of running to it, you're running from it? Let me say it like this. You can write this down. It's in your notes online and in the app. In life, you are either running to God or from him. It's simple. There ain't no in-between. There's no gray area. Either you and I are running to God or we're running from him. The question is, which one are you and I doing right now? Are we running to God or are we running from God? What areas are you currently running from God in? You know what he wants you to do, but you and I continue to run in the opposite direction. I don't know about you, but I've been like Jonah so many times where God told me to do something and I knew exactly what he told me to do, but I just did not want to do it. I have been done that and been there plenty of times. And I believe that many of us in here have been there as well. Some of us are there right now, where God has spoken a word over your life. He's speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. You've been reading a scripture. And there's something that God has specifically given you to do. And every time you open up your Bible, it's like it's pointing you back to it and pointing you back to it and pointing you back to it. And you're like, that's just coincidence. That's just coincidence. And God's like, no, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you to align yourself with my word. But instead of you being in alignment with my word, you're going against my word. For some of us, it's to trust in Jesus. Some of us, man, you've been coming to the bridge for some time and you have yet to say yes to Jesus. That's the thing that maybe God is calling you to do. Maybe for some of us, he's been calling you to serve on a team. You've been hearing us talk about it week after week, and you just come here week after week, soaking up good AC, chilling on the chair, and all that good stuff. But God has been calling you, hey, I've not called you to sit on the sidelines. I've called you to make a difference. I've called you to join a team. I've called you to lead a small group. And for whatever reason, we continue to give excuses and excuses and excuses as to why we can't do the very thing that God has already given us the ability to be able to do in the first place. For some of us right now, God is calling us to make a sacrifice. He's calling us to be more generous. He's calling us to forgive someone. He's calling us to take a step of faith. He's calling us to lay aside a destructive and a sinful habit. Maybe as a student, he's calling us to be totally committed to Jesus. But everybody in this room right now has something that God is calling you and I to do. But the question is, are you running to it or from it? Because either way, you're on the run. The question is, are you on the run in the opposite direction, or are you on the run doing what God has called you to do? And let me comfort us all. All of us in here are prone to run from God. All of us have run from God. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us. Somebody say all. All of us. So that means you can't look your nose down on the person that's sitting next to you. They have gone astray just like you. All of us have gone astray. Each of us, watch what it says, has turned to our own way. That's disobedience. When we turn to our own way rather than the way of God, that is us disobeying God. And Jonah was in this perpetual cycle of disobedience, running from God, running from God. Some of us have been praying prayers, God, can you show me what I need to do next? And God is like, I won't show you what's next until you do what I already had called you to do in the first place. I heard a friend of mine say this recently. They said this, and I thought it was great. Sometimes you don't need new direction. You just need to follow the directions he's already given you. I felt like that was gold. Because oftentimes we try to skirt by the very things in our prayer time that we know God is calling us to, all in the name of trying to get something else from God. God's like, that's not how this works. You want me to open up one door, but you won't even do the very thing that I called you to do in the first place. I'm not some genie in a bottle, God. I'm not some ATM machine. No. You got to align yourself with what I've said to you. You've got to align yourself with the word that God has spoken over your life. What is the thing right now that God is calling you to do that you and I are maybe fighting against rather than actually submitting to? Jonah was in this cycle of disobedience. God told him, go to Nineveh. He decides he wants to go to Tarshish. But notice what happens next. That not only is running from God disobedient, it's also destructive. It's destructive. Somebody say destructive. It is destructive. Notice verse 4. After it says Jonah decides he wants to not listen to God. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Let me pause right here. There are some storms that will happen in your life just as a result of you living life. There will be other storms that will come in your life that you will experience as a result of your disobedience. This storm that Jonah finds himself in, it's not because God didn't love him. It's because God loved him that he sent the storm. I'll talk about that more in a moment. It's because God has a plan for him that he sent the storm. The storm is really designed to be a warning track. Hey, you are going down the wrong path. But what we don't always realize is that when we are disobedient and not doing what God has called us to do, it will always lead to some type of a destructive path that we will find ourselves on. Notice the language here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, that a strong storm arose on the sea such to the point that the ship was threatened to break up. God allowed Jonah to experience this storm to show him that he is on a destructive path. Y'all remember that saying back in the day, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself? I believe that's the word for some of us today. You better check yourself, 90s rap, before you wreck yourself. And many of us in here right now are in this place where God is calling us to do something, but yet we're not checking it. We're not being obedient to it. And then we're trying to figure out, why is my life falling apart? Your life is falling apart because you're running from God. Your life is falling apart because you're not going in alignment with the things that he's called you to do. Now, by all means, do not think that I'm saying that when I'm obedient to God that everything is going to go well. No, that's not true. Jesus says, in this life, you will have many troubles. But there's a difference between the troubles that you and I experience as a result of being in alignment with God versus the troubles that we experience as a result of not being in alignment with God. That as a result of us being disobedient to God, there will be things that happen in our lives. And because of Jonah's disobedience, he finds himself in a situation that has the potential to wreck his life. It's destructive. Number one, it's destructive to him. When you and I are disobedient, it's destructive to us first. It begins to cause a deterioration to take place in our life. I want you to do some Bible study right here with me. I want you to notice the downward language that's associated with Jonah's disobedience. Look at verse 3. After it says that God spoke to him, notice what it says. He ran away from the Lord. But notice next what it says. He went down. Somebody say down. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Do you see it? He's going down. He's fleeing. Verse 5, notice what it says next. It says, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck. Do y'all see this here? He went below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. This is not coincidental. The writer of Jonah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to help us understand something, that when you and I are disobedient, it leads to a downward spiral in life. It always leads down. There is no upside to being disobedient to God. It leads us down a destructive path. It leads us down a destructive way. It is destructive to Jonah right now. Everything in his life is going down. Everything in his life is going down. as a result of him being disobedient. And I believe that many of us in here have been in that place. I've been there. There's been plenty of times where I knew the very thing that God was calling me to do, and as a result of me being disobedient, it led to me going down a dead end, a destructive path, a dangerous path, something that was beginning to cause deterioration in my life. And I'm trying to figure out, why is this not working, and why is this not taking place, and why is this not flourishing? And God is saying, because you're not being obedient, son. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. Because I'm not in alignment with God. And when we run from God, our lives will always go down a destructive path. Our lives will deteriorate and go down in some capacity. Here's what Proverbs 16:25 says. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. It's a way that seems right. So the way of culture says, the way of the world says, man, disregard God. Throw out his word. Do you think it's a coincidence that our country is in the situation that it's in right now? Seeing so much deterioration in relationships, deterioration with people? Do you think that's a coincidence? No, it's not. It's a result of people rebelling against God. It's a result of people going against the word of God. And whenever you and I go against the word of God, it's always happened in scripture. Every time somebody went against God, it always led to a downfall. Every single time. Every time. Every time. Somebody say every time. Every time. And when I'm here to preach to you today, I believe that God has sent me in a prophetic way to tell some of us right now, you are on a destructive path right now. And God is calling you to turn around. Isn't it interesting that God was calling Jonah to go preach to the people of Nineveh to get them to repent when Jonah was the one who needed to repent himself? Isn't that strange? That's a whole other message for a whole other week. But I believe that God has called us today to turn to him. Because right now we're headed down a destructive path. And it's not only destructive to you when you and I are disobedient. Here's the even crazier part. It's destructive to others. When you look at verse 5, notice what it says here. After it says that this storm came and was threatening to break up this boat, all the sailors were afraid. And each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Do y'all see what happened here? Because of Jonah's disobedience, not only is he caught up in this downward spiral, some innocent guys that ain't even had no clue what's going on, now they caught up in drama. Jonah, you done brought your drama onto this boat. Now you done got me caught up with your stuff. Do you see how your destructive pattern doesn't just impact you, but it can begin to spill over and impact others, in particular, impact others who are close to you? It has impacts on relationships that are close to you. It can have an impact on perfect strangers that you may not even know. Trouble came to them as a result of Jonah being disobedient. It came as a result of Jonah running from God. And you know what's so crazy here? Notice what the captain says in verse 6. This is what it says. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep?" Edwin translation, "Bro, how you chilling? How you just chilling at the bottom of the boat? We got Irma out here. We got this cat fire hurricane out here. And you sleeping?" And notice what the Bible says. He's in a deep sleep. So, like, he's gone. Drew coming out of his mouth and everything. Everything. And the captain is like, "Dude, I don't understand how you are comfortable in this storm." But here's what you got to realize. Is that when we are immersed in disobedience and dysfunction, it becomes normal to us because we learn how to cope with it. And so on the outside, everybody else is like, "Bruh, your life is falling apart." But you, because you're so in it and so used to it, you've learned to manage it. You've learned how to cope with it. We're in a dangerous place when we become comfortable with our dysfunction. When we become comfortable with our disobedient patterns, when we become comfortable with destructive patterns, you're in a dangerous place. That's very telling of where you are right now in your relationship with God, where you become very content with the destructive nature that you are on, especially when it's impacting other people. It's a problem. That's not cool. Tell the person beside you, it's not cool. Our disobedient acts have the potential not just to ruin our lives. When we run from God, it doesn't just impact us, it impacts others. Marriage, our kids, family, friends. Let me help you understand something about sinfulness and something about sin. Your sin may be private, but it's never personal. What do I mean by that? You may have done it yourself, but it doesn't just stop with you when it comes to impact. It has the potential, and it has the possibility, and more often than not will happen where it will begin to spill over into the lives of other people. You need proof? Ask Roseanne. Some of you guys don't know what happened. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Roseanne put out a very racially charged tweet this past week. ABC canceled the show just like that. Just like that. What happened as a result of that? Over 200 people lost their jobs because of one insensitive remark, because of a disobedient act, because of a sinful act. Just like that. Thanos. Just like that. Some of you guys have seen Avengers. I'm sorry. Okay. Just like that. Gone. Do you see how the destructive nature of our disobedience and running from God, how it not just only impacts us, but it impacts other people? Do you see this? And I believe that we've seen it in our own lives. You've seen it where the choices that you have made going against God have spilled over into your kids' life, have spilled over into your family's life, have spilled over into your marriage. The porn addiction that you wrestle with, that joint don't just impact you, it impacts your entire family. The struggles that we have, that we're giving into, that we know are completely against God, it does not just impact you, it impacts other people. But also the opposite is true. When I align myself with God, I align myself with the favor of God, with the blessings of God, it not only impacts me, but it impacts and blesses other people. And what we're trying to understand today and get us to see today is that, man, when we run from God, it has detrimental effects on other people around us. Let me also say this. Be careful who you let on your boat. You realize that the only reason the storm came, they found themselves in the storm, is because Jonah came up here. And many of us right now, you got a whole lot of drama in your life because you let the wrong people into the boat of your life. Like, some of the things that God is calling you to right now is to cut away some relationships. But no, I've known them for a long time. They are killing you. They are sucking you dry. They are not adding any value to you. But pastor, we're supposed to make disciples. You can. Don't mean you got to be best friends with them. Seriously, I'm all about the Great Commission. Reach them. If you don't, who will? But that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be tied and tethered together in the most intimate ways as possible. Be careful who you let on your boat. Be careful who you let in your life. Because sometimes, oftentimes, what you'll realize is that the people who come into your life will always have some type of an influence on you, for better or for worse. Notice here right now how in verses 11 through 13, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. Notice in verses 11 through 13 something powerful. But I'm just going to read through it. Verse 6, it says this. The captain went to him, said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice on us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots." In other words, it's like a chance system. It's like the throwing dice, if you will. "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble on us. What kind of work do you do?" You see how they're asking all these questions? You see how I done changed up real quick? "We cool with you, Jonah." "Oh, hold on, Jonah. The storm that came, who are you? Where are you from? Who you roll with? Who are your friends? How much money you make?" Ask him all these questions, right? And notice what they say next. "For what people are you?" He says, I am a Hebrew. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who makes the sea and the dry land." Verse 10, this terrified them. Why were they terrified? Because they said in their minds, more than likely, okay, if your God made the sea and we're on the sea and it's troubled right now, you're the reason. Which is why, notice what it says next at the end of verse 10. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Notice verse 11. This is what I want to focus on next. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" Do you see how it got real specific? Hold on, Jonah. What do we need to do to you, bro? Because we're not about to get caught up in this drama that you got between you and God. That's y'all. Notice what Jonah says next. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." One thing that Jonah gets right here is he owns his sin. You got to own the fact that you and I oftentimes are disobedient. Denial that you and I are disobedient will continue to lead to more dysfunction. You got to own it. I got a problem. You got to own it. I messed up. I blew it. I made a poor decision. You got to own it. The more you deny it and deflect it, the more it will lead to more destruction. Notice verse 13. It said the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. So in other words, they're not trying to throw Jonah off the boat. They're like, okay, bro, like if he created the sea and everything, he could surely take out our life if we throw you overboard. We ain't trying to do that. But the sea's growing worse and worse. I want us to see this principle here. As a result of Jonah's disobedience, even though they tried to get away from doing the very thing that needed to be done, the situation that they found themselves in, it did not get better, it got worse. The trick of the enemy is that the more and more you become disobedient or the more you go away from God, it will get better. No, it will get worse. It will get worse and worse and worse and worse. One pastor will say this, like, you need to kill the monkey that's on your back right now before it turns into a gorilla and crushes you. And oftentimes what happens is we continue to go down the cycle of disobedience and destructive patterns, thinking that, oh, it'll get better. Oh, you know, it'll change on its own and this, that, and the third. You know, it's like having a flat tire. Oh, it'll be better. No, it's not. Because what now would have cost you only $100 is going to cost you thousands of dollars, because now you now not only have a blown tire, now you got brake drums that are messed up. Now you got wheels that are messed up. Now you got other problems. Situations ain't going to fix themselves on their own. We got to take some ownership for it. And until we actually acknowledge it, and until we actually begin to run to God, it will not get better. It will continue to grow worse. Running from God does not lead to life. It always leads to destruction. Always. Always leads to destruction. I remember when God was calling me to pastoral ministry and to preaching ministry and things like that some years ago. And I remember I got the call clear, and I knew exactly what God was calling me to do. But I was like, you know what? I don't want to do it. That's not me. Not one bit. Not one bit. Now I remember like having a conscious decision that I made, like, I'm not going to do this. From that point on, everything in my life went down. I was in college at the time. I was on academic probation after the first semester. After God had spoke that call. Trying to figure out, God, how could you allow this to happen? Oh my goodness, this, that, and third, blah, blah, blah. What happens is, when you and I run from God, it leads to deterioration. Is this making sense? So maybe some of the reason why there's so much dysfunction in your life is because there's a disobedient problem in the camp of your life. But I like what happens in verses 14 through 16. Here's what it says. It says, then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord. Now, mind you, they've tried their best not to throw Jonah overboard. Notice the change in the tune, verse 14. They cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. I love the Bible, man. It's so comical. It's crazy in their time, but it's comical now. It said, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. Lord, have done as you please. Notice they put this on Jesus at this moment. So, Lord, this is your will. Jonah got caught up because he disobedient. We're not going to get caught up for this. Mm-mm. Notice this. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, I like the miracle that happens here. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. Remember, earlier in this passage, it said they all had their own gods. But now it says they greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. In other words, they now have committed themselves to God, which is interesting because it was in the midst of Jonah's disobedience. Here's the principle I want you to understand, that there's some things that God wants to do miraculously through your life. He wants to change people's lives through you. But at times, even when you're disobedient, if he can't get a miracle to happen through your life, he will do it in spite of you. God will use your dysfunction and your disobedience to still get glory. God's glory is not handcuffed to your obedience or lack thereof. Thank God that it's not. Because if that was the case, none of us would be where we are right now. If it was all about whether or not we were obedient to God as to whether or not God still had a plan for our life, still had a purpose for our life, we would have been gone a long time ago. But thanks be unto God that his grace is sufficient, that his mercy endures forever, that no matter how far we stray from God, he still has a plan, he still has a purpose. And even though Jonah's disobedient, gone down this destructive path, these men now become believers. Because God can get glory in spite of us running. But in spite of us running from God, I want to begin to wrap up with this. You've seen this whole disobedience, that running from God, it is disobedient. I want to get you today to stop running from God. I want you to start running to him, because running from God is running from your life. But the more and more you run from God, not only is it disobedient, it's destructive. It's destructive. I need you to understand that. You can walk out of these doors today and say, I'm going to still continue to do me. I'm warning you, your life is going to continue to deteriorate before your own very eyes. But Pastor, I got all the money. I'm good. I'm safe. I'm secure. You think so. It's a storm coming as a result of disobedience. But I like this, and I love the fact that in the midst of our disobedience, God is still good to us. Because notice what happens in verse 17. They throw Jonah overboard. They make sacrifices to God. They essentially commit themselves to God. Notice verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here's what this shows us, that in spite of us running from God, he always provides deliverance. That's the good news. That's the way out. Get out. He always provides a way of escape. He always provides a way out. Why? Like you're probably thinking, but Pastor, Jonah got swallowed by a big fish. There's always debate like, oh, was it a whale? That's not the point of this. The point of it is that God provided for Jonah. He provided a sense of security for Jonah. It was like, God was like, Jonah, I'm going to save you from yourself. Because you are going down such a destructive path right now. I'm going to do something that is absolutely mind-boggling to save you from yourself, like get you swallowed up by a fish. It says the Lord provided the fish. The Lord was the one who created the fish in the first place. And he sends the fish to the exact place where Jonah is at the exact time that Jonah gets thrown overboard by the homeboys on the ship and gets swallowed up by the fish. In other words, the Lord was in control of this entire situation. And I love the fact that God is able to work all things out for the good, because it shows that he is in control. So it does not matter how far you've drifted from God. It does not matter how much you've been disobedient to God. He still provides a place in the path of deliverance. And sometimes it'll happen in ways that you wouldn't even expect. And in Jonah's case, it was through this fish. It was through this unlikely of situations. The point of emphasis is that God provides this place of safety for Jonah in spite of Jonah's stubbornness. Here's why this is important. I need you to catch this. Jonah could have drowned, y'all. If you got hurricane-type winds on this sea, water's crazy, they could have thrown him overboard, could have drowned to death. But God says, Jonah, I got my hand on your life. I'm not through with you yet. And even though you may be trying to throw your life away, I'm not. Even though you may be trying to give up, I'm not. I got my hand on you. I got my hand on every detail of your life. You've drifted so far away from the very thing that I've called you to do, but I'm still here with you. I love the fact that no matter how far we go from God, he's still with us wherever we go. That he still has a way of pursuing us even when we flee from him. Anybody grateful for that? You want to know how you made it out of the situation that you had no business being in? It's because God was with you. It wasn't because you were that creative. It wasn't because you were that smart. It wasn't because you had money to buy your way out. It was because God was with you. He was covering you. He was keeping you. He was protecting you. He was providing a place of safety for you. When you look back on your life and look at some of the things that you found yourself in, you can look back and say, I don't know how I made it out of that. I know how God's grace. It was sufficient. God did it right here in Jonah's life through the fish. He did it in your life in different capacities. And in spite of the willful disobedience of Jonah, God and his love and grace and forgiveness, he still provided that even though Jonah found himself in this low position in life because of his sin, God was still being good to him. And sometimes what I've realized in my own lessons of being disobedient, sometimes the best thing that God can allow to happen is my entire life to fall apart, because then it allows me to see him for who he is. Some of us have been praying, God, don't let this fall apart. God's like, I have to allow this to fall apart so that way you can see that I'm who you need. That the very one you've been running from is the very one you need to run to. Sometimes God will allow things in your life to begin to crumble because you've been running away from him, when in all actuality, you need to be running to him. And sometimes he will bring forth discipline in your life, but the discipline is not because he does not love you. The discipline is proof that he has not abandoned you. Last time I checked, in order for you to discipline somebody in different capacities, you got to be close to them. Ask our children. God shows us that he disciplines us in different capacities. Sometimes he'll send the storm as a way of discipline. Sometimes he'll send the fish as a way of discipline. Here's what Psalm 118 says. The Lord disciplined me severely, but, y'all remember what Pastor Durbin said last week? God loves big buts in the Bible. And whenever you see the word but, whatever comes after that is powerful. That even though the Lord disciplined me severely, he did not give me over to death. In other words, the worst that could have happened did not happen. The thing that should have happened did not happen. You had every reason to be punished for your disobedience. And the only reason you did it was because of his goodness, was because of his grace, was because of his love, was because of his mercy. That's it. It was because of him being good. And this is why when we come here on Sunday morning, I don't need nobody to prime me up to be on this front row worshiping and lifting up my hands, because I think about all the crap that I did and all the stupid, stubborn stuff that I did and how God rescued me and how God kept me. And because he's good. And what I've realized is that oftentimes God's discipline is the pathway to your deliverance. God's discipline is typically the pathway to your deliverance. So God, why did you allow me to lose that job? Because it's through that I'm going to deliver you. God, why did you allow this to happen as a result of my decision? Like, I thought you were going to rescue me from that. I thought you were going to give me exactly what I wanted as a result of me blowing it. God says, no. I'm going to use this as a way to deliver you. I'm going to discipline you, but my discipline is because of my love. And it's through that I want to deliver you to become who I've called you to be. It's through this that I'm going to deliver you to the place that I want you to be. Here's a little fast track for what happens in the next chapter. It's the fish that gets Jonah to be where he's supposed to be. Could it be that the very situation that you've been praying would not happen as a result of you running from God is the very thing that God wants to use to get you to where he wants you to be? Could it be? God is the expert in GPS navigation. He's better than Google Maps. He's sure enough better than Siri. Sure enough, my God. Siri gets everything wrong. He is the ultimate. This is why Jesus will say this in John 14:6. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. I love our production team, man. It's awesome. But I believe that God has sent you here this morning because he wants to reroute you. He wants to reroute you. He wants to stop you in your tracks. He wants to stop you where you are so that way you can turn to go to the place that he wants you to be. I believe, man, you guys come on up. I believe that God has brought you here today because there's something right now in your life that he's calling you to turn to. At his core, it's him. I believe that there's something right now that God has spoken over your life that you've been running from for too long. And today, it's time for you to respond with obedience. I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit does. And he's much better at pinpointing hearts than I am. But you know exactly what it is. Maybe it is giving up a habit. Maybe it is being more active in sharing your faith. Maybe it is being more generous. Maybe it is taking a step of faith. Maybe it's leaving that relationship that you know you need to leave. You know it's no good for you. Why are you still in it? What is it right now that God is calling you to respond with obedience? Because until you align yourself, until we obey God, you will never experience God's peace. And I'm glad that God doesn't allow us and give us the things that we want in spite of our disobedience. Because even if he gave us the things that we want in spite of our obedience, our character would destroy it. You can't handle it. Because you haven't learned the lesson on the front end. How will you be able to take care of the blessing on the back? He says, hey, let's get this right right here. Let's get this right right here. Let's stop where we are and let's turn. Stop being disobedient and respond to God's call on your life with obedience. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like. And I'm grateful that God provides a way of deliverance. Because the greatest way that he provided a way of deliverance for us and does this for us is through Jesus and his obedience. That's why we can come back to God. And when we look at scripture, we always look at it through the lens of Jesus and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. So this is why Philippians 2 and 8 would say this, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus was perfect in his obedience. Perfect, even death on the cross. Why did he have to go to the cross? For your disobedience. For mine. For our sin. For our iniquity. Jesus never ran from his call. He fulfilled it. Even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed this prayer to the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, let yours be done. I love the fact that Jesus, as our high priest, is able to sympathize with our struggles and able to sympathize with the feelings that we have to want to run from God. But he shows us what obedience looks like. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we find the strength to obey, to do the things that God has called us to do. Matter of fact, Jesus will say this later on in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. He would say, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, we just read about that, so the Son of Man will be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see the contrast that Jesus is lifting up here. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights because of his disobedience. Jesus was in the tomb and in the grave for 3 days and three nights because of his obedience. He did it for us. So that we could come back home. And now through his resurrection, and because of what he's done, even when I disobey, my life isn't over. Even when I blow it and I make a mistake, my life isn't over. I can run back to God. I can be accepted by God through faith in Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection. Here's my plea to us today. Run to Jesus. Stop running from your life by running from him and run to him. Run to him. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the life. That's what he's saying. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. Run to Jesus. That's what he's calling us to today, is to run to him, to do a U-turn, to go from one direction and go the opposite, to repent. That's what repent means. It simply means to turn away. It means I was going one direction and I'm going this way. That's all it means. It's not a deep theological word that has all these different meanings. It simply means to turn. To turn. To turn to Jesus. And I believe that's what God's calling us to today. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, all of us have something that he's calling us to turn from so we can turn to him. So with every head, body, and every eye closed, here's what I want you to do in this moment. I want you to honestly have this moment with God where you say, God, number one, forgive me for running away from you. Forgive me for turning away from you. Forgive me for being disobedient. You know exactly what it is right now. There's some things that God is calling you to do and you have yet to move on them. Let me help you understand something, my brother, my sister. Your life will continue to go down a cycle of destruction, but there is a path of deliverance, and it is found through grace and the mercy of God by running to him, by coming home. So if that's you this morning, two things I want to do. Right now, first, in this moment, if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I got some stuff right now that I am not obeying God with. I'm being disobedient. I'm running from him. Would you be honest just in this moment while nobody's looking? Just raise your hand so I can see you. Just pray for you really quick. Awesome. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your response. What is it right now that he's calling you to do? Maybe to forgive somebody. Maybe to sacrifice in some capacity. Maybe to serve. Maybe to join a team. I don't know what it is, but there's something. Father, for every hand that's lifted, even every hand that was not lifted, I pray, Father, that you would help us to become the people that you call us to be. Forgive us for being disobedient. Forgive us for running from you like Jonah. Today, Lord, we thank you that you have stopped us in our tracks, just like you did, Jonah, to get our attention so we can align ourselves with you. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed, every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. You've been running from God. You don't know Jesus. You don't believe in him. But today, your heart's been pricked. You feel like God has been speaking to you, calling you to come back home, calling you to come to him. Let me help you understand something. Until you come into a relationship with God, your life would never have meaning. It would never have satisfaction. It would never have joy. It would never have purpose. But when you step into a relationship with God, all those things begin to align themselves. And if that's you this morning, and you're ready to say yes to Christ, to give him your life, I want you to repeat these words after me. The Bible says if you confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, was raised from the grave, that we will be saved. If that's you, say these words. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose from the grave so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. Forgive me for running from you. Forgive me for forsaking you. Forgive me for fleeing from you. But today I come to you to receive your life. Thank you for new life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your acceptance. In Jesus' name. Holy Christ, say amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you made a decision to give Christ your life, you just prayed that prayer. Here's what I want you to do.